Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Thursday, 11 July 2018, Thursday class. So we are now preparing our mind to develop the puja. Let us recall to mind all the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Let us turn to page 1 of this chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now let us chant the Padipa puja, offering of light. Ganna sarpa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganna sambara yutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang pang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokang ปูปังมิลายติยตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตเลปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริคาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาตุโมตมัง Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the line. Then we can have our silent meditation. Okay, always remember, relax body and mind, then maintain a relaxed mind, then silence everything, just meditate. If your spiritual faculties are stable, you should be able to meditate straight away. Whatever arises, allow it to be. Then within short moment, everything will slow down. Then your mind will return to its original state of stillness, inner peace, inner awareness. If you have trained properly, your mind state should be able to have this meditative states very fast. It's only those who have not trained, then maybe you need to train your mind. Then if in your daily mindfulness you have already developed them, it's a lot easier to sit. The moment you sit very fast, you go into the stillness, the silent mind. And for those whose spiritual faculties are not stable, if you find that the mental hindrances are still there, you will have to develop the appropriate skillful means to train this mind so that you can have the sati, mindfulness, to arise, then stabilize it. So like we have learned, if you need to decondition your heedless thinking, do it. Use the mind sweeping method followed by loving kindness metta. If you already have the training, if you want to skip this, you can. But for those who are still not stable, it's good to do it. Then after that, you just silence your mind. Then develop anapanasati to stabilize it. The anapanasati should be done until your mind becomes so quiet and so still. If you don't have affinity anapanasati, you can use whatever method or technique that you are familiar with. Just anchor it. Use your whatever method or technique or meditation object to anchor the mind so that you are mindful of this meditation object. Then from there, you allow it to become more and more relaxed, more and more peaceful. Then remember the four support for mindfulness-based meditation. First step is to relax into every mind state that arises. No matter what happens, just relax. When you relax, you don't think. Then you need to feel, you just feel. Then maintain awareness. Maintain awareness means silent. Just aware. Don't have to do anything. Maintain it for as long as you can. That's why the third support is 24-hour continuous awareness. Then finally is trust your nature to do the meditation. When it comes to trust, you just silence everything, then stay at your heart. Just silent. Let your silent mind detect the gateway, or just maintain awareness there. Then whatever that arises, you can stay with it. Like you can feel whatever vibration or your heartbeat or whatever, the awareness just be with it. Then continue to relax until it's very quiet, everything becomes very quiet. That is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, paucity. That is the mind state that you have to develop. Once you hit that state, technically you don't need the meditation object. The mind is already in sati, where it's already quiet, tranquil, still on its own. That is the natural state. Then during that time, the mind will enter sati. You can maintain that silence for period of time. Okay, now I will let you meditate on the own. I will ring the bell when the 30 minutes is up. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner peacefulness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then this is the meditative state that you need to use to develop your daily mindfulness. Okay, turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko kaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pachyatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho ujupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho sāmīcipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yadidam chattari purisa yukkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttaram punyaketam lokasati. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Buddha. Buddha, Buddha, Dhamma, Buddha. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. There are two sheets of notes. One is for the Thursday class, 28 June. The other one is for the 1st of July, I think. 1st of July. Sunday class. This one I have gone through them with the Tuesday class and the Sunday class. So today the Thursday class I will just read through quickly. If you want to understand more, maybe you try to listen to the recording and read through this slowly. You have to understand what I write here so that you can progress. You cannot understand means you don't have the stability or understanding yet. So these are short notes that makes the Dhamma easier to understand. Okay, 28 June 2018, Thursday class short note. Brother Teo read through the 21st of June Thursday class outline short note and explained certain key points as he reads them. So that one, if you want to understand more, you listen the recording. And one of the key points is on this. Because most meditators and cultivators, they don't understand this part, this aspect. They always make mistakes. I have seen a lot of very, very long time meditators, so-called very experienced in inverted comma meditator. They every time react, I still got anger. I still cannot control my anger. I still got craving. I still got that type of thought. They always say all those things. All this come about because they don't understand. They think once they become enlightened or they have the Dhamma, then all this will not be there. But they never understood the fundamental teaching. The fundamental teaching, the Buddha said, even before you get enlightened, this mind state are still the same. They are never real. They are never yours. That's why anger, fear, phobia, greed, and other emotions, they were never you. Whether you enlightened or you not enlightened, you're supposed to understand this. But because you are not enlightened, that's why you go and cling. Then you say, I still got anger. But why can't you develop the understanding through the meditation, the anger and all this fear, worry, anxiety and other type of emotion? They were never you. Because they were not there or not present before the stirring of your mundane mind. These emotions were not inherent within your true nature or your true mind. They are actually condition arising, mind state, dependent originating, following the dwelling of paticca samuppada as taught by the Buddha. With this understanding, one can just allow all this mind state to settle down on their own to enable one to realize that natural state of inner peace, inner stillness, and tranquility before the stirring of the mind. So this is what meditation is all about. When you know that they are dependent originating, condition arising, means not inherent within your nature. So they are not you. They come after you stir your mind to your wrong view, through your conditioning and all those things. So if you understand that they are not you, which means dependent on condition they arise, so when conditions cease to be, they will cease to be. That's why it's impermanent. Then you attach, cling, and grasp one thing your way, you will suffer. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That is the delusion. So this third aspect is the anatta nature, non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity, cannot be owned, cannot be possessed. And because they are impermanent, that's why it's not real, empty. They come and they go. Then point number two is, Bharatiya pointed out that a common mistake among cultivators is to ask such questions when they want to learn meditation. So this one is very common. They always ask, what meditation do you teach? Is it vipassana? Where they expect vipassana. They cling to the word. They attach to the word. They never find out what vipassana is. So Bharatiya reiterated that vipassana cannot be practiced because vipassana is an insight or an awakening. Vi means the three universal characteristics of nature, and passana means to insight into. Hence, vipassana is an insight and not a practice. Such questions come from the thought that doesn't understand. For vipassana is an awakening, an insight wisdom that arises when the mind is silent and just aware to insight into phenomena. The awareness will be aware of what is going on within the mind. There is no thought, mind or knowledge involved in this realization. It is just an insight or an awakening into truth. When the mind becomes so quiet, sensitive and mindful, most meditation are thought-based, which use the thought to come up with the method and technique to meditate. Then, who meditate? The thought meditate. We are following a series of instructions given, not knowing that these methods and techniques are just skillful means to anchor and train the mind. Without this basic understanding, one will think that one is practicing or doing the so-called meditation or doing vipassana. So these two very important points, if you understand, you will know how to meditate. Then according to the Buddha, meditation is very simple when you understand. It's just developing heedfulness. Just train the mind to be ever mindful, and use this trained mind to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. As we progress with more right view, avijja or ignorance is weakened. Then the next thing, which is sankhara, mental activity, will be less. So there is more awareness and less heedless habitual thinking. Without the heedless thinking, one is aware most of the time. With the further straightening of one's view to weaken the avijja further, the stillness of mind will grow more and more until one day when avijja is no more, the awakening happens. Some people have their past cultivation to support them. People like Sariputta, Kundanya, and the five ascetic. They were able to awaken through listening and reflecting on the Buddha's word, via Suttamayapanya and Chitta. Mayapanya, which are the first and second turning wisdom. But most normal cultivators will need to stabilize their second turning wisdom to realize the silent mind, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. Unless you have your past, you will have to train your mind until it's very quiet, very still. Then when the mind returns to its original state, then you can realize the silent mind or awaken to your true nature or true mind. Then only the meditation take off. Then from there, if you silence your mind to meditate, it will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state, and non-self. Hence, whether awakening is via Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, or the third turning, Bhavanamaya Panya, depends very much on the individual's past cultivation. So if you have not cultivated before in the past, you may have to go through all the three turning. First turning, then reflect, contemplate, second turning to stabilize your understanding. Then hopefully after that, any of the three turning can awaken your sight, awaken to realize the truth via the silent mind. Okay, then number five. When one's spiritual faculties are developed, the minute we see awareness or sati is already present, one only needs to stabilize it. The determination to be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path will keep cultivator on the right track, leading to the awakening when the conditions are met. Okay, this one is straightforward. Number six. However, if the spiritual faculties are not present, then one cannot meditate unless one has a skillful means or technique to overcome the five mental hindrances temporarily. The five mental hindrances hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. Then the question arises, why one has the mental hindrance? The reason is due to the habitual thinking or habitual thinking mind creating thought through ignorance or avijja. The mind-sweeping method is an effective tool because it can help decondition the heedless thinking. There are no thought involved. As thinking reduces, the mind becomes quieter. But this state is still not stable. This is the reason why a skillful means or an object of meditation is needed to stabilize this mind. The Buddha recommended anapanasati. Eventually, the mind becomes more and more quiet, leading to pasati, and eventually stillness of mind. This is the meditative mind which can make one mindful while in the midst of life. So this part is important. Once the mind enters sati, there is no need to use any object of meditation anymore. Many people are so fearful when they experience no breath. This is actually a good sign of progress. Ratio mentioned that his nature gained this understanding through his own past cultivation, even though he had no prior knowledge of meditation at that time. Next page. He went into absorption the first time he did it. But later on, another Thai monk come teacher, Prachanyantra, taught him the highest meditation via developing the daily mindfulness. And this make him realize that his mind was still in a conditioned state of apana samadhi. Bratio decided to release the concentrated mind state energy he was in and use the silent mind to meditate via the daily mindfulness while in the midst of life. His sati was so stable that even the most subtle movement of mind could be detected. He is fully aware throughout the day. At every moment of sense or consciousness and perception, he was in sati. The awareness and the phenomenal world move as one, and there was no thinking at all. There was just pure awareness in every moment of sense perception. Human beings can only do one thing at a time. We are either silent without thought or busy, caught up with the thought process. We react very fast to our sense experience due to our habitual tendency and self-delusion. Instead of using the mind to live life and think only when necessary, we have given thought so much meaning that it has dominated our life. To think, stir, and react every time we come into contact with sense experience. Through our daily constant stirring of the mind. We are like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, which are mental hindrances. They will prevent us from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness, thereby making us heedless. That's why if you don't straighten your view, you will continuously stir your mind. You will continuously wanting your way. That is craving, positive and negative. Okay, then number 10. Note number 10. The float is useful to assist us to swim at first. Similarly, methods and techniques in meditation are skillful means, like the float. Initially, one may need them, but eventually we have to give them up. As long as you don't give up all these methods and techniques or meditation object, we will never understand the real meditation or how to meditate. Once the mind has entered sati, there is no need for the object of meditation to anchor the mind anymore. It is already aware naturally. Then Master Hui Ning's approach takes us directly to the true mind. Without thought, we are already aware, and that is your true mind. Then one can see clearly with mindfulness how avijja, mainly self-delusion, causes one to react and stir one's mind, thereby creating the mental hindrances. These mental hindrances are the source of evil roots. Avijja arises due to wrong view. So Brother Teo advises us to straighten our view first. When Sankara ceases, we can then insight into phenomena. Most of us have been taught the traditional thought-based meditation until you are so conditioned. It makes you believe that meditation must involve the thought, not knowing that it is this thinking or chattering mind that you use to meditate is the one creating more sankhara to delude you. In the field of meditation and spirituality, thinking is not needed. What is needed is wisdom. Thinking is only necessary for us to use it to live life, to develop skill and knowledge, to perform certain mechanical tasks in life. Thought is a tool for us to use. Hence, the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought has wisdom, has wisdom, then thought becomes right thought. Then note 13. Brother Teo mentioned the sad case of a college student who shot himself in the toilet. At that time was, I think, a Samway college student. Such cases happen due to avijja, lack of understanding. And this shows the power of thought which can delude and deceive us into acting out foolishly. It is not about being rich or poor. A lot of such cases are due to karmic consequences from the past. Then the last point is 14. It is important for cultivator to understand that no amount of practice can free us. It is only understanding and wisdom that can free and liberate our mind. So this point is very important. Not until you come to that understanding, you will find it very difficult to progress. In the development of wisdom via meditation. So I bring you back to the whiteboard. Last Thursday we were using this whiteboard notes. You see, a lot of cultivator or meditator is just like the Zen story, Bodhidharma time. The Zen monk in China, they thought meditation is sitting, or don't make noise, no sound, no verbal chattering and all those things. So to them, they thought they must sit. And when they sit, they think they meditate. That's why Bodhidharma pointed it out to them. He said, you are doing foolish thing. It's like you are trying to grind the glassware and make it into a mirror. Impossible. You can go and grind until you die, or for umpteen years, you will never make it into a mirror. That's why you will never realize enlightenment. So we have to understand why do we meditate. Or why do we sit? What is the purpose of sitting? So if you don't understand what is meditation as taught by the Buddha, you cannot start. You cannot develop. That's why the question, what meditation do you teach? Or please teach me how to meditate. That is a wrong question. Because to them, they think meditation is a practice. Meditation is not a practice. You cannot practice to be wise. You can practice to train your mind to do something, to achieve some mechanical thing. Because that practice is via the thought, repetitive, mechanical. So here, sitting or formal meditation, we have to inquire is to develop what? What do you have in mind? Why do you sit? I already explained that you have the five spiritual faculty developed. You are in the state of mindfulness throughout the day. Whether you sit or you walk or whatever you do, you are in sati. But because people fail to have this type of mind, that's why I say you have to inquire, am I peaceful and aware? It's because they are not peaceful, they are not aware, that's why they think by sitting they can become more peaceful and aware. They can become more peaceful, it's not wrong. But aware, if you don't understand, you cannot develop it. So what is important is the sitting or the formal meditation is to train the mind or anchor the mind so that it is peaceful, aware, so that it does not run, it does not like heedlessly wanders off. That's why they need a method and a technique to anchor the mind. And when they anchor, they're supposed to develop mindfulness on the object of meditation. But many people don't understand, they go and focus and concentrate and do one-pointedness meditation. That's why all the one-pointedness, absorption, kasina, 40 object of meditation all come about. And these are methods and techniques to train the mind. And most of them are not mindfulness training, apart from anapanasati. Anapanasati, or what you all call the Burmese way of rising, falling. But don't use the word note. Be aware of that rising, falling. I mean, you silent and let the mind and the rising and falling of the abdomen move as one. That is also developing mindfulness. Or your hand movement, the long po tian one. Where as long as you can anchor it to your movement, your kaya, that is the object of meditation that can help you. Or you can repeat them through chanting, reciting. Then when you recite, you have to recite until the awareness and the chanting become one. Until there is nobody chanting, nobody reciting. It's just an awareness of the chanting. So all these are training. Then after you have trained, the mind will become more peaceful and aware. So this is the inquiry. Am I doing this? So if you are doing this, then you understand why you need the object of meditation. Understand? Then your object of meditation should lead to peacefulness and awareness. You must develop mindfulness on the object of meditation. Don't go and focus. Don't go and concentrate. Don't go and do all the noting and create more thinking and more thought process. Then after that, when your awareness is there, when you are peaceful, when the mind has become very quiet, very peaceful, then aware, then you need to stabilize it. Have I stabilized the sati or awareness? To do this, your mindfulness, if you do anapanasati, you have to relax into it, silent everything until that piti, sukha, pasati become very, very still. Very stable. Then the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, technically you don't need any object of meditation to be in the state of awareness, mindfulness. Can you follow that part? Huh? Can you follow that part? When your mind already enters sati, you don't need anything in it. But it's already in sati. Then all your movement like magnify. Then everything you do, you are in the state of sati. That is the daily mindfulness. That is the mind state that you have to realize. That's why stability of mindfulness is very important. Then use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. It becomes heedfulness. Then you are destined for enlightenment. Unless you understand this, a lot of people do it wrongly. Then here is the explanation part. The cause of your lack of peace. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not aware and mindful? Why can't you be in a state of meditative awareness in the midst of life? It's because you have mental hindrance. And why do you have mental hindrance? You lack a stable spiritual faculty. You understand? So because of the lack of the five spiritual faculty, which is sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, this mental hindrance arise. Means in the midst of life, your daily life, you keep on stirring your mind, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. These two, craving, positive and negative, mental hindrance, they keep on arising. So if they keep on arising with every moment of sense experience, then how can you be peaceful? How can you be in the meditative state of peace and awareness? Well, these are mental hindrances that will hinder you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. If most of the day, most of the time throughout the day, you are creating mental hindrances like and dislike, you are stirring your mind. What happens? This becomes habitual. Then if habitually you constantly create mental hindrance, means throughout the day you are heedless. Your mind cannot enter the meditative state. That's why when you come for formal meditation, you find it very difficult to settle down. Then you use method technique to force the mind to be still. You try to concentrate, focus and suppress, or use your whatever object of meditation to hold it. If you don't understand what you are doing, then you will be caught. So here is what you must develop as an understanding to overcome them. So mental hindrance, they are either your mind is restless, or you have sensual desire and ill will through your habitual tendency while you are living your daily life. Then you carry this state back. That's why this mind becomes restless, heedless, think a lot. Or you got problem in life, you violate your precept. When you have problem, you think a lot. You worry about the problem. That's why all your worry, anxiety, make you restless. Your fear, your insecurity, your phobia make you restless. Your mind cannot be peaceful. So in the meditative state, when the mental hindrance arise, they don't know how to deal. The Buddha say, if mental hindrance arise, go to Dhamma Nupassana, the first category of practice, means mindfulness of the five mental hindrance. The other one is sloth and torpor, and there is one more called doubt. Any of them, when they arise, the Buddha said you have to be aware when they arise. To be aware is the first stage of understanding them. When you continue to be aware, what happened? Yeah? What happened to the mental hindrance? Don't do anything. Don't feed it with any more thought energy. Just silent, aware. Whatever these are, not you, understand? The restlessness of mind, the thinking, the sloth and torpor, the doubt, the whatever stirring of mind state, anger or emotion or what, they are not you. They are conditioned arising state. They are dependent originating because of your wrong view, you react and you stir, then they arise. So when you allow it to be silent, aware, then what happens? That's why the first instruction is, when the mental hindrance is there, aware. When you are aware, this will slow down and cease. You have to experience that in the meditation. Otherwise, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. So when you experience them, I tell you, you will learn. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant. Then after that, the Buddha in the Satipatthana Sutta or Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, he said, from this awareness, you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. You know, isn't it? Because they are dependent originating. If you don't do anything, they slow down and they cease. Means the mind return to its original state of stillness, awareness. This is your true mind. That's why you must allow it to cease away until you realize that true mind. Then you will know how this mental hindrance, which are dependent originating condition arising, not you, come to be. Because to your wrong view, you stir, you react. Then you come to understand how they come to be. So in the Satipatthana Sutta, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha said, after you silence your mind, maintain awareness, you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, where you lack right view. Then when you continue to be aware, this will cease. Then when it ceases, you understand that it will cease on its own. You don't have to do anything. That's how you come to understand how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then from there, when you have this wisdom and awakening and understanding, in future you realize when you meditate, no need to do anything. All the mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. Then you will come to know how, in the future, there will be no more mental hindrance because you have already understood. And to develop that, you must have the five spiritual faculties stable until it becomes balas, powers. When your spiritual faculty become balas, this mental hindrance cease to be. Yeah. Then no matter where you meditate, how you meditate, there is no mental hindrance. Can follow, huh? Okay, so this one is the most important. Huh? So you understand this and that note, you will know how to meditate. So now you slowly reflect and write it down and make it understood clearly. And then you will come to realize, no wonder people cannot develop the meditation. But they never understood all this. And these are fundamental, basic understanding. Without this basic understanding of mind, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. It's not sitting. No amount of sitting can awaken you. If you sit without understanding, worse. Sitting alone will not change you. Sitting is to train your mind to be aware so that it can become ever mindful. First stage of heedfulness training. Then when it's ever mindful, use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, then you become heedful. That is the real meditation. That's why the Buddha said, the moment you heed heedfulness, you are destined for enlightenment. So all meditation lead to heedfulness. From heedfulness, you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. So what I explained to you is the first part, understand? First part means you must develop sati. If your first enlightenment factor or sati also you cannot develop, then you cannot have the other enlightenment factor. Because they cannot arise. You cannot investigate Dhamma. You cannot develop the virya. Because when you cannot investigate Dhamma, your faith is not strong, your virya will not be there. Then when your virya is not there, you cannot develop the meditation. So sati leading to Dhamma vichaya, leading to virya, then they call piti, the fourth enlightenment factor. They can only arise when your sati is there. When you are mindful without thought, you will experience piti. The other way is to focus, concentrate. That type of piti, not much use, because your mind is not a free mind. It's not in mindfulness. Then from piti, it will transform to sukhang. Sukhang is not an enlightenment factor. As long as you don't get yourself attached or entangled with the blissfulness of mind, then relax into it, silent. The mind will become more refined and more quiet until it becomes pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. That's why the Buddha said this is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the mind state that you have to develop. Then from there, it will continue to stabilize until samadhi is there. Samadhi, once it arises, means your mind becomes collected and unwavering. So in the midst of life, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel something, the mind does not stir or react anymore. That's why like and dislike cannot arise anymore. Then you start to see things as they are. Then you start to understand the Buddha Dhamma. You start to understand how all these things come to be, dependent originating, condition arising, also phenomenal, impermanent, leading to suffering, empty nature, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. So all this you start to see, you start to awaken to, you start to insight into. Then you realize the whole lot of phenomenal world is like that. Everything is like that. Whether mental, physical, or nature's phenomena, they always arise dependent on condition. Then if condition continue to exist, it will sustain its existence. Then if condition cease to be, it will cease to be. So the arising and the passing away, the birth and the death, the coming and the going. So everything is of that nature, arise, sustain itself, and pass away. Dependent on condition, they arise. Dependent on condition, they cease. So if you continuously develop your meditation and see all this, then one day your mind is different. It will transform. That silent mind just awaken. It just understand. Then with that understanding, the form and mind that is connected to that wisdom no longer deluded. The view all straightened, no more avijja. That's why you can say the form and mind will not suffer anymore. Because this is the enlightened state. Okay? Any questions so far? Yeah, tell me. Yes.
I don't know how to ask. Never mind. Slowly. It's like this. Because these few days, I noticed the mind was having craving, a lot of craving.
Okay.
And then it's like even you want to sit also, you're like restless, like you want like something in future you want, like even like you want to do something, you know, the restless.
I know. Something happened inside your mind, huh? You cannot like allow yourself to settle down to do all those things. So what do you do?
So I just say that this morning and now and just now. This morning, I also have this feeling. Then even I want to sit, leaning behind.
I know.
Have this stuff. And then then before I went to the bathroom, I just read a book.
Okay.
A book, a Zen book. I read a short passage talking about why are you so busy. I remember
That will help you.
Then I find it quite interesting is that when they say that the Zen master was he was very busy giving talk a lot of things. So then people will say that I'm very busy, but actually it's not they are busy, it's that the mind state that tells it's busy, but actually outside is just the way it is.
Yeah, the way it is.
If the mind is tranquil, then everything is just the
correct.
Way it is.
Like inside okay, outside no problem.
Yeah, even though how packed is the
schedule. No problem, because it's just natural, normal. But the mind that is silent can be in the midst of activity, in the midst of movement, can speak, can share, can do everything, but inside no movement. But your case is like what you mentioned just now. You see, that craving you cannot see. That's why the Zen, that sentence, why are you so busy, helps you. Because your mind has this craving, you know what it wants to do. It wants to meditate. It cannot meditate. It wants to sit. It cannot sit. That is the craving which you cannot see, because that is very subtle behind. So what you are using, you are using your thought to rationalize. Understand? You rationalize and tell yourself, you understand that this is craving. There is a Dhamma behind, but you don't know how to handle it. Understand? To handle it is very simple. Like I say, relax. Don't do anything. Relax. Let the whatever craving arise. Let the thought do what it wants. Because this is habitual tendency that arise through your daily life. Understand that? Whatever you do in your work environment and all those things, and your lack of spiritual faculty. So this mental hindrance will come out as hindrance. That it will make you like restless. Yeah? You want to do whatever, the mind doesn't listen to you. The mind is conditioned in whatever way it has been conditioned. So what you should do is, you should allow it to be. That's why don't fight. Don't resist. Means don't get angry. Don't get unhappy with this mind state. Like you say, I want to sit, I cannot sit. So there is this slight aversion behind. A lot of meditators cannot see. Why can't you accept that reality and tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless? The mind that is conditioned is like that. When my mental faculties are not stable, mental hindrance will arise. I accept this reality. Means, you accept through this understanding. The cause of your mind's lack of peace, inability to settle down or meditate, and return to the original state of inner peace, inner awareness and stillness, is because you have mental hindrance. Accept it. Then silence your mind to be with the mental hindrance. You understand? Like I say, be with the sloth and torpor. Don't resist, don't fight, stay with it. Even how sleepy also, your awareness go in. Your awareness, the moment it can become one with that mental hindrance, the shift of consciousness will occur, like I told you last time. Pain also the same. Pain is negative craving, dislike. Yeah. And the sensual desire is your whatever pleasant feeling that you want to get it repeated in your meditation. So all these five mental hindrances, even doubt also same. Accept it. Stay with it. Then you realize these are all cease. On its own, it will cease. Where these are dependent originating, condition arising, impermanent. They come and they go. So what happened is, you don't create mental hindrance, you don't stir your mind, you don't try to fight, don't try to suppress or do anything, that mind return this original state of inner peace and inner awareness. You must realize that. The moment you realize that, then very easy your meditation. Then you realize, I don't have to do anything. It was set back. Why did it set back? Because no mental hindrance, the only thing that can happen is sati take over, mindfulness take over. Because when you are silent, you don't do anything, that is sati. Without thought, you are already in sati. So when sati take over, means your mind develop mindfulness. And when it's aware without thought, the mindfulness take over, the mental hindrance cease to be. That's why you can meditate after that. After that, you realize the sitting become very comfortable, very natural. You try it. Don't do anything, just relax, silent.
I just want to say like three occasions how it happens. The first thing this morning after reading that short passage, then I kind of noticed this mind state.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, it's just a while. It's like, I can't like hear.
Yeah, your hearing is clear.
At first, it's not like
hearing.
The craving is
strong. Yeah.
Then when suddenly it's like,
clear off. Then suddenly, suddenly the senses start to operate. Yes.
It's like a sudden So then yeah. Just for a while, and then I continue.
It's good enough. It's good enough because what you need to understand is when you are not holding on to that craving, understand? When that Zen statement, like I use the word in inverted comma, awaken you, understand? Like let you understand. Yeah, why am I so busy doing all these things? Well, my mind is actively trying to be peaceful, understand? Wanting to be peaceful, wanting to meditate, wanting to go into a meditative state. That is craving. No need to want. Yeah, these are all mental hindrances that arise due to the lack of spiritual faculty, lack of daily mindfulness. When I understand, I accept, I'm at peace. Then relax, silent. Then all this will slow down. Slow down. Then finally it will cease. Yeah. When it ceases, it's very beautiful. Like what happened to you, your hearing. But it's a lot more clearer. When it ceases, no more chattering, nothing. You can feel this stillness inside there. The complete silence. The whole thing like no chattering, no mental movement, stillness inside there. And silent. Completely silent. That's why my teacher used to tell me. He said, inside okay, outside no problem. Inside not okay, outside big problem. Because your inside reflect outside. That's why when you don't understand this mind, you don't know how to train this mind is agitated with the mental hindrance. Without the spiritual faculty, it's not peaceful. But if I have the spiritual faculty, then the mental hindrance cannot arise. Why? If I have saddha, I am very, very calm, very peaceful, my mind very composed, where I have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So I got no more doubt. Then after that, when my faith and understanding of the Buddha Dharma and his teaching, to understanding how wonderful, unique a being he is, and how wonderful his teaching is, then this one spur me to have the spiritual zeal to cultivate. That's why the virya will arise. Then when the virya arise, you are not sleepy, and as a sloth and topper cannot be there, then you will strive on to cultivate sati. Then sati will come if you do it constantly, through the daily mindfulness, through whatever training. Then when sati is there, stabilize it until it becomes pasati. Then it will become samadhi. That's why sati will lead to samadhi. But before samadhi, sati goes into tranquility first, pasati first, then only samadhi. When samadhi is there, you can see things as they are, you will awaken. You will understand why all these things is like that. Then you will know that earlier on, without this understanding, your mind stir. You create mental hindrance through avijja, through self-delusion. So this will allow you to straighten your view. You don't have to do that. That's why now you don't fight, you don't suppress, you don't react, you don't stir, you don't create mental hindrance. You accept, means at peace. When you are at peace, the silent mind with sati will take over. And this is the meditative mind state. That's why you have to see this. Then your meditation becomes very easy. Then no matter what happens, you just relax silent. You will go back to the meditative state. Then after that, stabilize it, come out and develop the daily mindfulness. Then your meditation will never, never regress. From then onward, meditation becomes very easy. But you can be mindful in the midst of life, when it comes to formal meditation, is as easy as ABC. Like kacang putih, understand? Because in the midst of life also, you can be aware, then what is sitting? Sitting, you don't move, no. So much easier. You don't believe, you try. Many Kayamita has got it. They told me, yeah, but what you say is true. After they develop the daily mindfulness, the moment they sit, they go into stillness, silent. No movement at all, inside quiet. And very clear. Their heartbeat, their whatever vibration within, or whatever they want to be aware, they just move their attention there, and it becomes very clear. Very, very clear. So that is what meditation is all about. Okay? Very good. Anything else?
Yeah, and the second part is I noticed when I was, you know, like sitting not doing anything, then this mind likes to tell stories about. I noticed a few times already, but this like every time.
Yeah,
like,
on its own, it will tell you
stories. It will tell story, and then
a lot
like,
of stories.
It will tell you, okay, next when you go to the office, what you need to do, how you need to do, and then, then it's like then I will like stop thinking.
I know,
and
I
then
know.
Suddenly it's like, eh, this is like how to say this. That suddenly I realized that it's a thought, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. You start to be aware of what your thought is doing. Where these are respond to memory through your attachment. Where you give meaning and as well. You say, this is what I must do when I reach office. All these are your accumulated attachment without you knowing it. And as well. Where you give meaning. Where you have to go through working life, career life. No choice. Last time I also went through that. That's why I say, write it down. No need to remember.
But sometimes it's not remember. It's like suddenly, you need to do this.
No, because you didn't write down. That's why the thought keep on wanting you to recall. Understand? Where you give meaning. You say, this is important. Without you knowing it, no. Okay, I must remember this. When I go to office, I must do this. Tomorrow, my assignment, I must finish this. Or whatever. Mm-hmm. Understand? Mm-hmm. The moment, I give you another example, you will know. Let's say you go and buy something from a shop. Yeah, they sell you something. Then this person said something to you that you don't like. And so, or he is very rude. And do you know, even after you have paid the money and buy the thing, you become very unhappy. You come out, you will talk to yourself. Why this guy did this to me? Why can't he be more courteous? I'm the client, I'm the customer. This type of dialogue keep on coming out. Why? Because you give meaning. In Hokkien, lu bu kam wan gai ya, understand? In Mandarin, it's called bu kan yan. Because this dislike, like you're not happy with him, it's a very strong craving, you know. And this will condition your mind, your brain to continuously resolve it through chattering. Then sometimes you become so strong, you know what happened, huh? You go home, you reach home only, your mother there, you will tell your mother, "Ayo, just now I go and buy from him, this guy did it. Next time you don't go and buy from him." All this will come out. But this is habitual tendency. And this is actually attachment. Craving. You give meaning. Attachment is you give meaning. Then what you do? You accumulate into your memory through what? Through thinking about it. If you don't think about it, it doesn't go in on. Understand? That's why I teach you early on, I say, you can be aware, perceive. Then don't proliferate. Don't go and think. Understand? Perceive, know what this is, then move on. That's why aware, move on. Then do what you want to do. Why must you think? Unless you want to reflect on it and develop the understanding, then you can. Understand not? Oh, maybe this can serve as a Dhamma to help people. Because I saw it. I understand how it comes to be. Then without mindfulness, you will be drawn into it. Understand? Conditioned into it. And this is how habitual tendency develops. That every time you encounter something in life, you accumulate. That's why accumulation is suffering, dukkha. That is the second noble truth, cause of arising of suffering, which is craving. Craving comes from accumulation. You don't accumulate, you don't hold, don't grab, they call grasp and cling, there is no craving. That's why craving is attachment. Attachment is accumulation. You don't accumulate, you don't hold. You hold, it will accumulate. Where you give meaning. Hold means you give meaning. Understand? Means unresolved issue. You are still not happy with what happened. All this will stir the mind. So when you start to see all this, then you realize, what am I doing? I am being heedless. Why should I go and think? How can I reverse all this? Then you will contemplate and reflect, okay, how should I perceive that guy? Then you can recall what I teach you. He is just the way he is. Been deluded, not so refined in his character. He will say things like that. So if I can accept him for what he is, I'm at peace. No more problem. Everything stopped there. Then you just smile at you. Oh, okay, it's okay, okay. Then you resolve it. Then you come out, you smile. Means you don't carry anymore. Understand? But you see him and perceive him for what he is. You no longer perceive him with negativity and get unhappy over what he did to you. Means the atta not involved anymore. Means nobody is hurting you. But you can accept him for what he is. Then you can tell yourself, the world is the world. The world is the world. Means condition like that, things will be like that. If the condition is for it to rain, it will rain. You get angry with the weather, no use. If it's meant to be, it will not rain, it will not rain. So everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. I have to accept. When I accept, I'm at peace. When I at peace, I got no mental hindrance. I got no mental negativity. Then that peacefulness is awareness. It's mindfulness. That will settle the mind. The mind will not go and think anymore. But no point. They are just the way they are. The world is the world. Thing is just the way it is. I'm at peace. I learn to be at peace in this manner. Even your colleagues scold you or do something very adverse to you. Or sometimes they accidentally like pour something on you or what. That is the real test. I remember in the retreat, the coffee, I don't know what, my wife was sitting next to me. Suddenly the coffee was spilled on her. No? Then I saw she didn't react. I said, very good. Then after that she tell the experience to me, said, different already. Otherwise, normally you get angry, and I said, no. If you yourself do, you cannot be angry yourself because you only admit that you are being careless. But if somebody spill the thing on you, you can get angry at him. No? Why are you not mindful? Why you go and do this? No point. It happened already. Happened already means happened. The reality happened already. I have to accept this reality. So I laugh. That's why she also accept. She smiled. She didn't react. Then she do what she need to do. Clean up. Because 30 years ago, when I went through this transformation, I remember I told you the story before. My wife one day made the coffee for me, forgot to put sugar. The moment I taste, I know. Then I smile. Then I say, come, you drink. Then only you realize I didn't put sugar. Otherwise, normal people wear reactor. What type of coffee? What sugar also never put? See? You create problem. Understand? You create unnecessary misunderstanding, and you make her unhappy some more. But she really make coffee for you. You don't appreciate. Some more you tell her all. You know how he think. He say, "Look at that kiang, look kaki pao la." That worse, isn't it? Then it become what? Tit for a tat, understand? Next time you ask him to do, he say, "You go and do yourself." But if you politely and with the understanding, he say, "Thank you so much." Then next time they will do for you again. But they feel good doing it for you. It's also merits, understand? But sometimes you have to understand when they are busy or they are not feeling well, it's your turn to do for them, understand? So it depends on the condition, the situation. So when you are sensitive, you feel for others. You no longer have the selfish attitude and selfish mind. Every time take advantage of people. So this is daily life mindfulness wisdom that you can develop to your own understanding. Nobody can teach you. Because if you are not mindful in the midst of life, you cannot learn all this. Because today you got condition, when you bring all this up, then I can share with you. So this subtle craving or attachment is there. Whenever you give meaning, it's already there. Sometimes you make a note on it. Like you saw somebody doing some funny thing at the traffic light or what. then this thing will go into your brain already. You know? Then you think about it. Then sometimes you also laugh. Then you go back, you want to tell this story already. And so, this is how the mind, the brain, that has habitual tendency will work this way. But when you are mindful, you are aware different. Different in the sense that whatever you know, then after that you come back like nothing happened. But then condition, somebody talk about it, and then you can share the example to let other people. But if there is no condition, you will never start a conversation. Unless there is condition, or people is prepared to listen, then all this will manifest. Then you realize you will just accord and flow. You are not like before. Most of the time you are quiet, silent. Then you just smile, you just rejoice. Then you just know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path. Gentle, pleasant speeches. Then your action is all with good mental intention. No selfishness, no delusion, no negativity of thought and all those things. Then you do things sincerely. You are very sincere, righteous and truthful. So all this virtue will come as your mindfulness improves. You will see all this. Then through the law of karma, you know it's never worthwhile to have the evil root. Because when you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. No point. So you cannot do all these things. So through mindfulness, through awareness, you see your subtle craving. You see your mental hindrance. Then you develop the straightening of the views to attend to all these things. So straightening of view is very important. How you perceive a situation is very important. How you perceive life, how you perceive a situation, a person. Never perceive them with negativity. Learn to accept them for what it is. Like the Buddha said, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. See things as they are. Then there is no delusion. No craving or desire to do things your way. Because the acceptance frees you. When you can accept, you become more peaceful. Then your mind, less avijja, less sankhara. Because as you straighten your view more and more, you got less things to do. You got less stirring of the mind. So you got more and more mindfulness, more and more silence, more and more peace within your mind state. That's how you are able to go into that ever mindful state within life itself. Then that heedfulness will develop and it will gain traction, it will gain strength. Okay? Yeah. The last
the
part?
Last one, yeah. Okay. After notice that it's thought, then it's like, then it's like, wow. It's like, oh, it's like relaxed.
Yeah, you are more relaxed. Then, yeah, you can see it already.
And then the thought is just now the meditation. Yeah. Then also the craving came out. Then it's like, then at the end of the sitting, suddenly you realize it's the I. Like, it's like
the ego.
The craving mind.
Yeah, the craving mind, the ego.
And notice the I craving.
Yeah.
Craving becomes craving, not I.
Yeah, not you. There is nobody inside
there.
Then the
body was relaxing, and then it's like, and to see the characteristic of craving.
Correct. Then you see it slowly disappearing. That craving itself will dissipate. It will dissipate and completely gone. No, then you realize inside here, it's just silent, still, empty, nothing inside there.
But it will change.
It changed because the sankhara start, the emotion start. When there is no sankhara, no emotion, it's just the true mind. The true mind got no movement on. Understand? It's just aware inside there. That's why you must realize that. You must come back to that silence, that stillness inside. That's why when they take you directly to the silent mind, the true mind, if there is no thought, the first unique characteristics of Huineng's teaching is realize the true mind, means no thought. That's why you have to silence everything, then realize it. Then when you realize it, before the knowing, that thing before the knowing is very different from the thought that come out. The thought that say I got no thought is a thought. Understand? But before any word come out, that is your awareness. And the awareness is independent of condition, independent of thought. It's just that nature, the essence of mind. What is aware of silent stillness? Silent and stillness got no vibration on it. Means no sense data to imprint the ear. No sense data means what? No dependent origination. No condition arising. Means it is the unconditioned. Without condition, it's aware. That's why your true mind is the unconditioned. It's just aware. And aware, no need condition on anasana. And that is your true mind. The essence of mind. They call it essence of mind. The essence of mind is just awareness. Just aware. And you cannot ask the question, who is aware? You know? The moment they ask, they are dead. It means they don't understand. They say, I told you last time, they are Taiping Sai, SBS. They got a seminar on the what they call Four Foundation of Mindfulness. And one of the retreat people asked, he said, who is mindful? Who is aware? And the monk tried to answer. No? That's why I was so shocked. When you ask a question, who, means you don't understand what sati is. But that one is not a thought. That one got nothing inside there. That one is just aware. That's why the Buddha says, standing, aware. He never say, I aware. No? Standing, not standing. He got this type of instruction. Note means what? There's a person with the thought, note. He said aware. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Sitting, aware. Lying down, aware. Whatever you do, just aware. Aware means without the person, without the subject. It's just an awareness. Means they call it objective seeing. You know the difference between objective seeing and subjective seeing or not? These two words is very important. Objective seeing. Then the other one is subjective. Never mind, I think I use this one easier. Yeah. Can I? See. So this one, you have to learn. Yeah? This one is language. Yeah? Objective means there is no subject, no person behind. Understand? Subjective means there is a subject. I see. Understand not? Objective seeing means there is nobody to see. Just like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. It's just the awareness, the consciousness. There is nobody inside there. Like the physics experiment, you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. You understand? The lighting up is the awareness. It becomes conscious. That's why it's just that seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. But the moment that subject go in, I see, you associate already. It become a subjective seeing already. But before the atta, the ego go in, it's objective seeing. And this one is just the consciousness. It's just like the switch on, the light bulb just light up. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness. Nobody to see yet. The moment the I, the atta, go in, there is a clarity. Yes, you start to associate the seeing. Then you say, I see. Yeah. Then you never question the word I. What is that capital I? Like I used to ask you all. Eh? What is that I? Huh? What is that I? Then you say, I see you. Then you will try to use your whatever thinking, knowledge. Isn't it? Then if let's say suddenly you realize, I see. My I see. Without I cannot see you. Clear or not? So you think the I is the I. Eh? Without I cannot see you. So my I see. Correct or not? Very logical. Yeah. Very logical. Yeah. You think your eye really see or not? I alone never see. You understand or not? You look at the guy with the eye. Yeah, when he is asleep, the eye can be open. No? Did he see or not? He don't see. Yeah. A dead man with the eye open, also he don't see. Yeah. Then they go one step further, no? They think they are smarter. No? Oh, like that. I alone don't see. My mind see. Without mind, I cannot see. So I say, yeah, without mind, I cannot become conscious. I cannot see. So my mind see. The blind man got mind. You ask the blind man to see. He cannot see. So I alone, EYE, cannot see. Mind alone also cannot see. So what is seeing? Seeing is condition arising. The three things must be there. You must have a mind, you must have an organ, EYE, the eye that function, and you must have the sense data, the light to bring the object. And then these three come into contact, seeing consciousness arise. Understand? Like the battery, the bulb, and the switch. Nature's law. Automatic. So seeing is condition arising. I alone cannot see. Mind alone cannot see. You need a combination of the condition for it to arise. And then you start to understand what is subjective seeing and what is objective seeing. Objective seeing is when the atta, the self, doesn't come in. Means at the moment of sense experience, when the light bulb light comes, it's just the awareness. Understand? That seeing consciousness, just that consciousness. Nobody is inside there yet. Nobody get entangled into it yet. But the moment the egoic mind, the thought come in, then it starts to give meaning. Because you perceive through what? Memory. Isn't it? Your memory recall through words. Understand? Not? Just like this Buddha Rupam. How do you see it? Through your seeing consciousness, through your perception aggregate. Right? But the direct seeing, the objective seeing, is without the word. Understand? Without the perception. Seeing things as they are, no word. That consciousness, just that consciousness. Like when you see a painting, the word painting is not there. Like this microphone that I share with you all. If you see this, that word microphone is not there, understand or not? But you really see this whole thing. This whole thing that you call microphone, is not the word. Like Krishnamurti say, the word is not the thing, understand? But you are so conditioned, you every time say microphone, you believe this is microphone, you never look at this. You never look at the detail, you never perceive it. Understand? That's why sometimes they say you are not what they call, there's a word. What is that word? That is a very important word. You are not what already? Observant. You are not observant. Means you don't observe, no. You use the word. You believe that you have seen this thing because you say, yeah, microphone. Red Teo is holding a microphone. That's it. It's just like Buddha image, but you don't see the detail. No. But the direct seeing, the pure perception is everything is very pristine, like new, very beautiful. Understand? Even a dead tree is so beautiful. Because there is beauty in everything that comes from the direct perception. No words. That whole thing is nature's pristine beauty, where everything has its beauty if you know how to observe. Even the dirty thing, the shit and all those things. It's only your discriminative mind through the smell, because you are so conditioned to dislike this smell. Let's say when you are born, people teach you to like the foul smell. I tell you, you will grow up liking the foul smell, understand? It's just like you grow up, if people teach you how to take bitter thing, sour thing, and you say, this is nice. I tell you, the kid will grow up the other way. Sweet thing he don't want to eat. Because he's conditioned. We all different. All conditioned by sweet thing. Then we know what is bitter, what is sour, and all those things. So all these are conditioning. So the conditioning is the one that caused the mind to react and to stir. Your like and your dislike, your duality. Because these are your craving, understand? Things that you like, you attach. Things that you don't like, you reject. So negative craving. So very good. I think what Tammy has come up with, at least through this question and sharing, we get to learn quite a lot of things. So these are the daily mindfulness thing that you can develop understanding if you are mindful, if you are observant. That if you understand what is objective seeing, seeing things as they are, without the words. That's why after that you can perceive. You can perceive after you have seen it. Perceive. But don't proliferate after that. You remember the flower analogy or the tree analogy by Krishnamurti? The moment the word come in, you are not looking at the tree already. You are trying to describe that tree. Oh, this is a bohi tree. Oh, very fresh, very young. Or let's say it's a plant, a flower. Oh, how nice if I can buy it and plant it in my house. So this is how your thought proliferate. Understand not? Means you are not with the moment already. You are lost in thought. Everything you see, you kepo, understand? You want to describe it. You want to comment about it. That's a, like a commentator. Like initially, Tammy say, talk a lot. Understand? This is my chapter, talk a lot. Understand? Because you give meaning, carry it. That human behavior, before they understand meditation, before they understand what sati is, they will do it that way. Because this is the usual heedless living way. People who are heedless, they live life like that. Because they are hardly aware. Most of the time they are lost in thought. They give too much meaning to thought. Until thought has so much power over them. And without thought, they like cannot live life. Because to them, whole of life is thought. Without thought, like they don't know how to live. Like the fish in the water. You tell the fish, got a land environment with air on. He say, you crazy fellow. All my life I'm in the ocean. Where God? Everywhere is water. To them, everywhere is water. So human being is the same, no? Everywhere is thought, no? Where you cannot understand a type of living that doesn't need thought on. Awareness, silence, stillness. But they cannot touch it. But this state, the unconditioned, they are beyond thought, beyond mind. So thought cannot understand, like the fish cannot understand. But once they are caught by the fisherman, they come out to land, then they realize, really God. Then what they do? They are not used to it. That's why the Buddha say, patalang chatalang, I don't know what. It's like a fish out of the ocean. The mind is like this. Patalang and chatalang. I also don't know how they pronounce it. It's like a flip here, flip there. So all this is described in the Buddha's teaching, is it? Like a fish out of water. They struggle because they are not used to this environment. But when you understand condition like that, things will be like that. Struggle also no use. Panic also no use. Fearful also no use. You have to accept the reality and find out and understand what is going on. So the whole of meditation involves mindfulness, awareness, observance. When you are attentive, when you are observant, you can understand a lot of things. Okay, very good. So we just go through the second one quickly. Yeah? We got 10 more minutes. Yeah. Okay, 6th Patriarch, 1st July. Bharatiya went through the Jai Krishnamurti daily code on extraordinary seeing. So this one we explained before. Extraordinary seeing is same as direct seeing. That is to see things as they are without the interference from the past experiences and the thought. Means the direct perception, the direct seeing. Then Bharatiya did a detailed review of the outline short notes for the Thursday class, 21st June. Then the third point is important. When there is mental stirring, one cannot be aware. Huh? Always remember this. When your mind stir, means you react already. Duality come out already. Means you are lost in thought, heedless. Means you are preoccupied with what your mind is latching onto. Whatever that is logical may not always be the truth. I already given you many examples. Eh? So knowledge is not wisdom. Logic is knowledge, is not wisdom. Only wisdom or understanding free one from suffering. If one merely tell oneself not to be angry when one is angry, this will not help, as this is a form of suppression, not wisdom. Because when similar situation or condition crops up again, anger would still arise. However, if one understands via acceptance of the fact that things and people are just the way they are, then anger cannot arise. This is the right view. Then one will not react with anger to any other situation again after having those understanding. You have to reflect until it goes in, until it becomes part of you. Always tell yourself, whatever situation, do not perceive in negativity. Be at peace. Means people are just the way they are. Things are just the way they are. Condition is just the way they are. Then like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. Means it has to be like that. There are causes and conditions like that. Things will be like that. Cannot be other way. So I accept first. Then with wisdom, I act. That should be the way to live life. Not react first. Then you get into trouble already, straight away. Yeah. So this is very important. Eh? Then number 6. Bharatiya explained the difference between path and fortune enlightenment stages. Under the 7 stages of purification or Satavisuddhi, there is a stage called purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is non-path. The Pali word is Magamaga Jnanadasana Visuddhi. Magamaga is path and non-path. Then Jnanadasana, Jnana is insight, direct knowledge or direct insight and vision of the reality, direct knowledge and vision of the reality. So path leads to wisdom and enlightenment, whereas non-path leads to delusion and deviant path. Path here means your cultivation is on the right path leading to enlightenment. And when you are on the right path, your enlightenment factor will keep on arising. So this is a very good check. One must always got a glimpse of Nibbana or cessation of form and mind to be on the path. You must go through at least a glimpse, a moment of stillness or complete cessation. Fruition here means having reached the completion of the cultivation of the path, leading to stability or understanding that can enable one to share and teach those understanding. So initially, with a glimpse, enough already, where the understanding is there. You don't even have to keep in memory. That form and mind will understand, depending on what stage of enlightenment you will understand. So the factors have no power over them. But they cannot teach you, they cannot explain to you, where they are just on the path. They haven't completely understood. But when they have the fruition, means it not only flower, it has become fruit. Means they have the complete understanding of the enlightenment that they have gone through. So because of that, they have the stability or understanding to enable them to share and teach those understanding. Then number 7, If one is on the right path, the seven factors of enlightenment of sati, dhamma vicaya, virya, piti, pasati, samadhi, and upekha, means equanimity born of wisdom, they will keep on arising. Okay, I just finish off this. All the four stages of sainthood enlightenment of Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahant have their own path and fruition. That's why in the salutation to the Sangha, you have these four pairs of enlightened beings. The four stages of sainthood enlightenment linking to the ten fetters that binds living beings to samsara were also explained. You go and listen if you want to know more. Then Brother Chin Hao asked whether he can contemplate while doing walking meditation after he has reached some point of calmness. Brother Teo advised Brother Chin Hao to find this out for himself, meaning investigate into it instead of waiting for answer. The question should not be what one should be doing. If you understand what is meditation, then this is what happened. If you want to do the walking meditation to develop mindfulness, then you just go ahead and do. He should just walk naturally until body and mind become one. Even bowing also can, without the thought saying that he wants to be mindful. That's why I just do until the awareness come. Then when the awareness come, the body and mind will become one, as advised by me. Once that happened, then the form and mind that is in sati will know what sati is without word. If he wants to contemplate, then just contemplate. We are a calm mind in creativity. Just do and the result will automatically arise if he has done them correctly with the appropriate faith, sincerity and understanding. Then this number 10 is good. This one is Sister Tammy's question. There are two questions. After doing the mind sweeping method, calm metta meditation to decondition the heedless thinking mind. After doing the mind sweeping method, calm metta meditation to decondition the heedless thinking, the mind is calmer. Then I am, the is redundant. I am supposed to stabilize it via anapanasati. But I am averse towards anapanasati. So is there any other way to stabilize the mindfulness? Bratio advised Sister Tammy that any method or skillful means and technique that she is familiar and comfortable with, she can use them. There are no hard and fast rigid rules. It all depends on the individual's preference. Then the second question is, if there is sloth and torpor during meditation, what must I do? Then I answered. I asked her back, what do you normally do? Then Tammy replied, I try to open my eyes. Then I replied, I asked her back the question, does it help? And are you able to stabilize your mindfulness? Tammy replied, sometimes it helps to keep me awake, but I still cannot stabilize my mindfulness. Then Brother Teo replied, can you remember what I used to advise you all when it comes to sloth and torpor? You are supposed to inquire, what is sloth and torpor? It's one of the five mental hindrances. So don't try to suppress or fight or do away with it via aversion or dislike. In doing so, you are creating another mental hindrance of aversion of mind or ill will, dislike. This is delusion. Why can't you develop the acceptance of it via understanding that without the five spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance will continue to arise? So don't create the mental hindrance or aversion unnecessarily. Understand this. You can then apply the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought as taught by the Buddha. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome thought or spiritual faculty of virya to overcome it. If this is not effective, then the second way is to think of the consequence of allowing this mental hindrance of sloth and torpor to stay in your mind. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. So you have to abandon it via the third way, which is mindfulness way or awareness way. Just be aware of the sloth and torpor, or be with it via maintaining silence to be at peace with it without arising any aversion or dislike. Without aversion, there is no mental hindrance, then sati will take over. When this happens, all of a sudden, there will be a shift in consciousness that can result in great awareness in your mind, leading to clarity and virya. Then the sloth and torpor is totally gone. This cultivation is based on the four foundations of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, first category of practice on mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. The Buddha said, when the mental hindrance of sloth and torpor is present, you just aware, imply no aversion towards it. Just maintain awareness and be at peace with the sloth and torpor. And when the shift of consciousness occur, you will know how the arisen mental hindrance of sloth and torpor cease to be. You will also come to know how the earlier hasn't arisen mental hindrance come to be, because before you meditate, there was no sloth and torpor. So you will understand that sloth and torpor is dependent originating due to lack of virya, or your body is too tired. Once you see this in the meditation, you will understand how to root out sloth and torpor. So this applies for all mental hindrance, not necessarily only sloth and torpor. Okay, so this is a very good revision. So now you understand how to deal with all this sloth and torpor, mental hindrance, and negative mind states. Okay, we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anuoditua cirang rakan tu lokasasana itta wata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siriya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yāva nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Nobody need a discount.